Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
We were treated to a bonus hour of Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com today. And now we got one more. Paul Kuharsky brought to you by Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse and Sealmaster. And if that's not enough, he's going to be with me tomorrow.
Well, I'm here to see Rex Road out the door and to improve your radio experience tomorrow. But we'll put up with Joe for another hour.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll say, I appreciate it.
You going to a beach tomorrow?
I got all your in-season vacations?
No, I have a
thing I have to do for my other job.
Very mysterious.
Thanks for asking.
Very mysterious.
On assignment, as they say?
Yes, on assignment.
Are you following Lane Kiffin around?
would you tell us
if you were?
No.
Probably not until the story ran, but no, okay. Lane's not. Lane only lets Pat McAfee interview him and say,
"Hey, Lane, how awesome are you?"
It's funny.
Awesome, right?
It's funny that Robbie thinks that they would give you like the Lane Kiffin assignment. They would give him the assignment of the guy that might replace Lane Kiffin, who people don't know.
Yeah.
That's the Joe level assignment.
Yeah. Okay. And your level of assignment is giving yourself the Titans to cover. Good job. Awesome work.
It's a living. It's a living, Chief.
We brought up Cam Ward earlier, and we will, I'm sure, get in and out of the Cam Ward conversation throughout the hour here. I do want to get your thoughts on one thing Bettingfield said at PaulKuharsky.com on him, which is the developing a reputation for the fumbles. And another thing of the arm angle, and you've talked about the footwork part of this, which for sure I think is going to have to be worked on in the offseason. You know, I think having the arm angle and being able to throw it sidearm, we talked about Stafford yesterday. He can do it, right? It's a great thing to be able to do. When somebody's staring you right in the face and you can bend it around them and throw it from different angles, it's a good thing to have. You know, there's a play on Sunday against Houston where Ward is in the pocket. It's clean. He's got – I can't remember who it was over the middle, or it was Io Manor or who it was over the middle. He's got him, and he lets it go, and it's sidearm, and it just gets swatted down at the line of scrimmage. And I wonder – like, how much are we noticing that being a problem of just throwing it sidearm, the angle in which he's releasing the ball, when maybe it's not necessary? And how able is that to be coached out of you, do you think?
I think it can absolutely, you know, the throwing mechanics, the arm mechanics of a guy are not necessarily alterable at this stage. But I think the arm angle has to be. I mean, he's capable of throwing it, you know, overhand, three quarters anyway. He drops into that, I think, out of comfort and habit. And like you say, sometimes it's great. He's throwing it under a guy's armpit when the guy's hand is up where he would be throwing it. But he's doing it, like you say, on that play for no reason. And that seems to me like a lazy falling into a bad habit thing, not a necessity thing or a not correctable thing. And it got to get to a point where the default is up and the exception is down, and the exception is out of necessity. I need to bring it down here because I'm getting it around somebody, or, there has to be a reason to bring it down. Outside of this is where I'm comfortable throwing or something like that. And Nick Holtz was talking about that yesterday, you know, that it's not necessary to be down there sometimes.
I like that we get reminded every week that Nick Holtz is still around, you know.
He's a good talker. Yeah. He explains things.
Not calling plays anymore, which is fine.
Yeah.
Not calling plays ever.
Not the internet coach, which is that's fine too.
Yeah, everything's good, man. Having a good time. Well, Robbie did bring up the point. I mean, if anybody watched Aaron Rodgers at Cal, like he did, he had the ball like up here, like he threw.
A completely different throwing motion by about year three or four with him than it was when he started. Yeah. Now that's not a normal thing.
And I think Josh Allen. I mean,
he had a lot of time.
Yeah, and I do think that Josh Allen, although it may not be as obvious, like if you go back and watch rookie film, I mean, I think there's definitely some mechanical. I mean, his accuracy turning into someone who could actually be remotely accurate, which. Still astounding to me.
Yeah,
like
he's
watching
the big exception.
Yeah, he's the big, yeah. Like, okay, you actually can change someone. Like, I always compared to like a jump shot, you know? Like, you get to usually about 15, 16, you jump. Like, that's what the muscle memory is too built in to change it that much. But So, in all likelihood, you're right, though, because those are two examples that we can think of.
But he's not strictly a side armor. That's the thing. Yeah. He does throw it, quote unquote, normally, with some regularity. It's this thing where he drops down unnecessarily.
Somewhat randomly, it seems like.
Well, yeah. It goes back to me, fair. Like, to just the fundamental question.
It's in his arsenal.
We went through the numbers. The numbers are bad. They're on pace to be really bad for a number one overall pick. So how much work has to be done here? Because, even mentioning that, I know there's a certain segment listening right now. Titans fans are like, well, what do you expect? Look at what's around him. And I get that. There's nothing around him. I understand
that. And
we
talked about the defenses he's been playing, too.
But there's also, there is, to me, when I watch him, I said it yesterday. There's a throw or two per game that he makes where you're like, wow, that's a really good throw. And then there's a throw or two, sometimes more, per game where you're like, an NFL starting quarterback can't miss that throw.
Yeah,
it just can't happen. And it's every week. So, to me, even independent of the circumstances around him, there's a lot of improvement that we're going to have to see. And I'm talking from year one to year two. There's a lot of improvement that he's going to have to take on here. And I just wonder, how much improvement are we talking about? That's what makes the whole picture of where he is right now kind of hard to wrap your mind around, because I do think there's a lot of improvement needed, and I also recognize that the situation around him, really from any standpoint you want to take, roster, you fired your coach, all that, is about as bad as you could have drawn up for him to begin the career.
And there's enough good throws, too, that where you're like, okay, so you see that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to be comforted, Mike Herndon wrote a piece that posted on Saturday that I made not behind the wall at my site. And he looked at the 18 quarterbacks since 2016 who've been drafted in the top five. And he put Ward in context of rookie season passing yards, completion rate, passer rating, interception rate, big-time throw rate, all of these stats. And he's not at the bottom. And, he's got some pretty effective quarterbacks behind him. He's ahead of Jared Goff in big-time throw rate and turnover-worthy play rate. He's third.
I think in that category he's been pretty good.
Yeah,
he doesn't make a lot of boneheaded decisions. He might make the wrong decision,
except for the fumbling. The fumbling is a problem. But in terms of decisions with the ball, I think you're right.
Yeah.
He's ahead of May in passing yards, and I used May as an example. I don't think he's going to be as good a quarterback as Drake May is right now, by any means. But if you look at Drake May last year, he did some bonehead things. He did some bonehead things here. He fumbled late, and he threw a game-ending interception in overtime. He was on a bad team, a four-win team, with a bad coach who was a one-year flame and out. Now, are the Titans going to find a Mike Vrabel / McDaniels pairing? That's what you're hoping for. And look at the difference that in May in year two. I don't think it's unreasonable to aspire to have Cam Ward make a year two jump on a scale from where he is to where he can be, like Drake May. That's what you're shooting for.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I will say that,
it's a reasonable aspiration.
Yeah, it's just to me, the people who are convinced he has no chance, I just think you're way overreacting.
Agreed. And the people who think he's absolutely going to be the one, the same.
That's way too much.
We don't
know.
He's in the gray area.
Yeah, Doug and Franklin's how much of Cam's mechanics were seen on tape and by the scouts? Well, all of it. Again, this is part of why he was number one overall by default. That's what he was. There's going to be someone else this year, frankly. I understand Mendoza, Simpson's a talented player, but it's going to be the same thing. They're not. There's no number one. Oh, my God. There's going to be a number one by default.
Yeah.
And that's what Cam was.
And if you're a Titans
ideally, you don't take the number one by default guy, but they did.
And you hope that multiple teams are in love with Mendoza or whoever rises to that position, or maybe that there's no consensus, whatever. If the Titans end up with number one, but look, people fall in love with the quarterback every year. And the Titans weren't the only one with Cam Ward. The Giants loved him. Giants wanted him. Giants offered, a windfall for him. Now, if the Titans are in that position again, they can hopefully surround him with some really helpful things, not just on his side of the ball, but to help make the other side of the ball a lot better. But the biggest thing is the coach. Who are you getting in here to make things ideal for him?
The other thing, I guess, that stands out to me, and this is going to sound like I'm some big Cam Ward hater, and I promise I'm not. Like, I'm very open-minded as to what he can be moving forward. But when we're discussing positives with him so far this year, generally speaking, it always comes back to, like, the intangibles. It's like, well, he's got a good attitude, or, well, he doesn't let things affect him. It's very, very little of the physical part of playing the game. Now, he's made some good throws, right? I mean, look, the first touchdown pass of his career was an outrageous play that he made. But I feel like because, I mean, they're 1-9 football team, I get it. The offense is horrible. But, like, when we start talking about positives with Cam Ward, it almost always immediately comes back to, well, we like his approach. It's like, well, I like it too. That doesn't mean a whole lot if you can't make throws on a consistent basis in the NFL level.
Yeah, it has limitations. But we'll also
see flashes.
Yeah, but I mean, you want that. I mean, I think that's good. I do think that he handles the ups and downs better than, say, Levis. I also think when I'm watching him play, I think he's better than Levis. I know that I'm comparing to a low bar here. Also, like, so how many chances has he had to have a game tying or game winning drive? Is it just the two? And is he 2 for 2 this year? Is that accurate?
Might
the Cardinals in last week.
Yeah.
So I mean, in both those situations, he made throws when the absolute pressure's on. I mean, again, it's a small,
But you can't help but ask. That's a great point, Joe, that he executed those two drives very well. Where the hell is that the rest of the time?
Yeah.
Now, part of it feels like the staff and the calls hold them back. They just won't open things up.
And the crappy team.
Unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. Unnecessarily conservative, right? The other thing is, like, he ran 3 times in this game with great effect. Is that the coaches telling him not to run? Is that him being reluctant? I don't care, like, where the reluctance has come from. Why has it been reluctant? Those 3 runs were huge.
Yeah, he needs to do that way more.
I mean,
yeah.
You can get easy first downs with that. It's not natural to him. He's not great at it. But he looked great on the one long one.
Well,
he ran straight ahead into space. He made one cut right. He ran straight ahead into space. I don't remember what the gain was, but it was a significant gain and an easy first down.
And he got
do
down.
That.
He
do
got
that.
Down, got himself got down. Out of trouble.
He didn't put himself in any danger whatsoever.
Yep. He's good at sliding.
Do that. I mean, that is so simple. Us, the fans, all the media know it. Why isn't the coaching staff doing that? Why?
We'll have more with PK coming up next. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Paul Kuharski with us from paulkuharski.com, taking your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025, our phone number. People pointing out, had the opportunity for the drive against Denver in game one for Cam Ward.
I forgot. That felt Joe, like, that feels like 9 years ago. My bad.
Conveniently felt left that out to make Cam look better.
Yep. I'm the fluffer.
Oh, boy.
You said it.
Cam fluffer.
Cam fluffer. Fast Eddie on the YouTube chat says, James Foster has Ty Simpson rated higher than Cam Ward was. Not taking the Giants offer looking like a big mistake.
You make a decision in the moment. You don't plot out that. First off, they didn't know what Simpson was going to do this year.
Alabama didn't know, I don't think, what Simpson was going to do this year.
So it's a thing that is not a factor when they're making a draft decision last year.
Ty Simpson's a very good player. And, yeah, like, Brugler has him as his number one QB. A lot of people have Mendoza, whatever. They're both very good. I think they're both going to go high in the first round along with I don't know who else. But
on the quarterback front? Yeah, I don't know.
But again, this is just like last year. This is a year of not the, oh, absolutely. Or like 2 years ago where it was like actually 3 guys who could be the number one pick in a lot of years, which is Williams, May, and Daniels.
Well, and the likelihood is if you were the Titans, and let's say for the sake of argument, that they took the Giants deal because they did have their eye on a quarterback this year, the likelihood is it would have been one of the Cade Klubnicks, Garrett Nussmeyers, or Drew Allers of the world, all of which.
Lenora Sellers.
Lenora Sellers, all of which. I have no idea where any of those guys are going to get drafted.
Yeah.
Probably not the first round.
Also, if you like the guy.
I mean, some probably will still, but yeah, they've totally fallen off of what they were supposed to be.
If you like the guy last year, there's no guarantee of what position you're going to be in next year. There's no guarantee the guy doesn't break his leg. All this, there's too much haziness about the next year.
Do you know how many hundreds of texts we received going back a year plus about, like, this is the year that you tank for Arch? I mean, like, yeah. We don't know what's going to happen, guys.
Now, be separate of all of that, like, if you were looking at the offer and you thought, well, we're not exactly convinced Cam Ward is a great player, well, then, yeah, you take the offer mm-hmm. at that point. And that's fair criticism. Like, they have hitched their yes. wagon here to Cam Ward, and he better end up being a great player. Sorry. Took him number one overall as quarterback.
Or you cycle again. And after this rookie contract, you say, well, he wasn't what we thought. Or
will it be that long? Teams give up way faster than that. Will it be that long?
3 years for sure.
For sure. I definitely – people talking about next year, obviously he's a quarterback next year. I would bet he'd be the quarterback in 27. I don't know if I'd go for sure.
Well, I would put it to you this way. If they and he are not substantially better next year than what they and he have been this year, we will absolutely be talking about
quarterbacks yeah. in the 27 draft.
Yeah. Also, put yes. this to rest. There's a segment of the population that thinks that the Titans would be wise to draft a quarterback this year and have a competition. It's asinine. You have to get players now
yeah.
that help Cam Ward be good.
What is a competition?
You can't draft a quarterback to then have one of your top picks from the last 2 years sit on the bench and not be of help.
Like, the idea of a competition is basically you must think that Cam Ward's not taking it seriously. He's not working hard. He doesn't want it enough. Like, what does a competition do? Like, it's already hard enough to play quarterback in the NFL. It's hard.
Yeah.
Like, I have no doubt. I mean, I know the 5 a.m., you know, showing up at 5 a.m. But, I mean, yeah, a competition is if you need someone to get their button gear. That's not the point. It's just hard to play quarterback. Also, if you want to bring someone to be the starter instead of him, okay.
We're going to take away half of his snaps yeah. to keep him from developing while we give half of his snaps to another guy, and one of them is going to sit and not play.
I mean, Tannehill came in going into Mariota's fifth year, and it wasn't a competition, despite some reporting to that effect in camp. It eventually overtook him.
Right.
But
also, look at this. Everybody that wanted to trade down, what's Abdul Carter done this year?
Not very much.
9 hits and half a sack.
Yeah, it's been a
game-changing player that we all wanted on the edge? And I was a proponent of the trade down for a long time till I came around. But he's not been a game-changing player.
And Travis Hunter played, what, 7 games? And he was all right. He was fine through 7 games.
Yeah.
I mean, nowhere near worth what Jacksonville gave up
right.
for him.
So we'll see. I mean, we'll see on those guys, just right. like we'll see on Cam Ward.
But if you're making that trade out,
yeah, yeah.
you're trading for immediate impact.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, and also, like, this is what happens, though, when we start talking about Cam Ward. There are people that are already out of him. And then, like, Sam on the YouTube chat is like, Cam's going to be fine. Stop feeding into the stupidity of the masses and bring reason to the conversation. Well, we don't know Cam is going to be fine. I know.
And also, is fine okay? Is fine okay?
People say that because they want him to be fine.
Right.
And I get that. You want him to be good. But I'm dealing in reality of what's happening here, and right now he's bad. I mean, I hate to tell you, right now he's bad.
And
the question is, how much better is he going to get?
Yeah, and we don't know. There's a lot of things have to fall in line for him to get good. And number one, I'd put it ahead of Cam Ward. Who's coaching Cam Ward?
Yeah. Well, we were talking, like, in the general Nashville sports landscape conversation. I mean, Preds are awful right now. Like, who the Titans hire as coach is so important here. Like, they have to get this right. Because if they don't, and we're stuck through another cycle of ineptitude here, and we're doing this whole thing all over again here in a couple years with new quarterback, new GM, new coach, I mean, you're just in an absolute dumpster fire situation, even beyond what you're in now at that point if you're the Titans.
Right. And so I agree that coach is hugely important, but it's also I'll be surprised right now, and it's so early, but I'm going to be surprised if someday we're like, oh, man, number one overall, they were dead on right about that one. I just think he has too many flaws in his game. I do think it's possible for him to be a good quarterback. So, okay, good quarterback. Is that middle of the league?
12 to 15.
Okay. Is that – I could see that. I think that's about the ceiling.
15, if you get a guy that's 12 to 15, he's a two- or three-contract guy. If you have a two- or three-contract guy –
with a great team, the position, you can win.
The position is set. If the position is set, you have what the whole league wants.
I don't know, man. The masses told me when we had this conversation in the offseason that Baker Mayfield in Tampa wasn't good enough.
It's not good enough.
Wasn't good enough.
No. That is absolutely good enough. I mean, Tampa Bay has a lot of problems, and I don't think they have a good head coach. But if I could have Baker Mayfield for two or three contracts, this Baker Mayfield, sign me up in a second.
Right, and then it's, you know, it's, the whole point is to win. It's not to have a franchise quarterback. It's to win. So,
now,
can you have a great team around a quarterback that good? You'd win.
Yeah, you would. Let's head to our phone line. Welcome in Trey to the program. Trey, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy. Great.
Hey, I was thinking. I listen to the games. That's what I do. You know, I travel all over the country, so I had to listen to the radio a lot. But what I want to say is that I think Paul really, really believe. Everybody believe. I believe that Cam probably can be a decent quarterback, but that only entails as far as, like, his how fast he'll be able to develop, okay? And right now, he only has, what, a handful of, as far as going down the field, you know, getting touchdowns in 600 hours of football. That's not good on any level. He should be at least in the top half of the bottom third, being a first round pick. You know, everybody was saying, oh, he can make all the throws and he's on time. Where are those people at today? Where's Lewis Riddick? Where's Orlovsky? Nobody's saying anything, because that's what they do to us. They go on TV, they put us on TV, getting ran over, getting dragged, and then when we're in an important position, they want to tell us who to pick. That's not fair. And now look at what we got. 600 hours of football, he's ran maybe two or three touchdown plays. That's not good. I love y'all, but I'm very, very upset about that. Y'all have a good day.
Hey.
Thank you.
Thank you, Trey.
Thanks, Trey.
That's a perfect rant. I don't know that we could add anything to that. I mean, the 600 hours point is just well made.
the top half of the bottom third?
No, he said the top half of the bottom third. And if you can't understand that, Joe, that's on you. I'm putting it into ChatGPT right now. I'm trying to get a more solid definition of that number.
I must say.
Mike, have you guys checked the time clock on Cam Ward? I got him at just under 600 hours.
I must say, I haven't heard a lot of Riddick.
The top half of the bottom third is the range from 1/6 to 1/3 is what ChatGPT is.
Good to know.
Thank you.
Is that any more clear to you?
That's really fascinating.
Crystal.
Yeah.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We got 30 more minutes with PK. Take your questions. On the Titans front, 615-737-1025, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. All right,
hey,
so
let's try to make a thing out of this top half of the bottom third.
Okay.
I want that to really take off. Everyone retweet.
Would that be a T-shirt that would get you banned at Nissan Stadium? Apparently, it doesn't take much to get banned at Nissan Stadium.
I guess not.
Are you talking about the sign?
Yeah.
The issue with the sign, I'm told, was the size, not the content.
But
the content was innocent as could be.
Have we not had We Ass shirts turned away?
Oh, I don't know.
I bet if that sign said "I love Amy Adams Strunk," the size of the sign would probably be let go of.
We do need to talk about the Titans' softness at some point today, I would say.
I'm happy to discuss.
Yeah. We can get to that here in a few minutes.
Okay.
So we mentioned Latham earlier and and mention most of the conversation behind the scenes of, okay, is he not doing things? Is he not listening to veteran players? What about strictly where he is on the field? You know, we're 23 games into his career, and I understand that he was hurt earlier this year, and when you're talking about a hip injury with an offensive lineman and your first game back after that, I believe, if memory serves me correctly, was Max Crosby that he was going up against. I'll give you a little leeway there. I mean, that's over with me at this point. The numbers would suggest, and I know you mentioned earlier, Drew Beatty, a piece that he's done or is coming out with. We'll go into more detail about this at paulkuharski.com. The numbers suggest that he was fine in the game on Sunday against Houston. But then
Next Gen's had him, really good. But
then you've got three false starts and a holding. I made the equation, PK, earlier in the week. It's like saying, hey, the quarterback played really well, except for the four interceptions he threw in the game. So where are they with him right now, strictly on the field, with what's going on out there with his play?
I mean, did Joe Alt need 23 games to settle in? You know, just like, why does everything take so damn long with this team? And then you would think the guy who, you know, really gave a stamp of approval and could get through to him on some level, and Bill Callahan is gone. So, you know, you've got two guys who were assistant to the traveling secretary, now as assistant position coaches on the offensive line. I don't know about their resumes or their ability to get through to J.C. Latham. They're coaching Bill Callahan's offensive line techniques or whatever. No, there's been no dramatic change there. You know, J.C. Latham says the right things about wanting to be great and knowing what he has to do. Talked to Will Anderson once upon a time about how his leadership, techniques or style or determination, but none of it seems to translate.
I mean, Nick Saban, like, you know, just like any coach, he'll like say good things about a former player. He like gushes about J.C. Latham.
So what gets lost in the translation? They've had a few guys. The biggest example, Isaiah Wilson, you know, who your guy who's been fired now, gushed about from Georgia, Pittman, gave glowing recommendations about. Supposed to be a great guy at Georgia. They say he completely changed when he got here. Well, you have to be aware if a guy's going to completely change when he gets money. I don't know if that's part of what's happening.
How
to
are you be a, well, you we don't to, need to get sidetracked, but that's a stupid thing to say.
No, it's not that's a stupid thing stupid. To say. There's a scouting bromide, C.O. Bricado, who's one of the great scouts of all time, says money makes a guy more of what he is. And so you have to know what he is and have a sense. I'm not saying you can bat 100 on this, but you have to have a sense of what kind of guy
he is. That's a bad betting average.
So what is money going to do to him? Is he going to become a guy who's doing donuts in the middle of a big intersection?
Right, but you also know,
or is he going to become a guy who's over at the hospital visiting kids?
But yeah, but real quick, but also Isaiah wasn't. It was more than just being immature. Or he got money. He had issues, serious issues, which can come with all those things. But I don't. I mean,
right? But we've heard that some teams had a sense that he was an issue.
He missed one workout. He showed up late for a workout, and they wondered if he was drinking. Well, that was the Texans.
Here's what I know.
But that's not much, man.
31 teams knew not to take him, and one team took him. And it was the beginning
When did he go in the draft?
He's pretty late. He's late first round.
Like 20-something.
All okay. right, so 25 teams knew not to take him.
Or they took somebody else that they liked better. Yeah. I mean, come on.
I don't know.
We don't even need to get sidetracked.
Yeah, I'm not offering the Titans absolution on Isaiah Wilson, and I'm not going to offer him absolution on J.C. Latham if he doesn't pan out at 7.
Oh, no one's saying you should.
And I'm not saying he's Isaiah Wilson, but I'm saying
no.
These guys who come from college and change personalities, you've got to have a sense that they could go the wrong direction. The Titans are not good at this.
He's 29th overall, by the way.
29th.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, like – we don't need to get into Isaiah Wilson. But with Latham, I guess that's a big question for me, though, is okay, I mean, he admittedly got way out of shape last year. Then he got into great shape coming this season. So kind of like, how did you let that happen? Also, good for you doing that. Is this a personality thing, or is it just that he just doesn't? I mean, sometimes it's just you get on the field in the NFL and you see film from a guy in college and it's just not good enough. You can't 100%, right? Like, track that either. It isn't necessarily.
This guy has the traits. I mean, I think everybody look at him and tell you he has the traits. To some thought to be a left tackle, but certainly to be a right tackle in the NFL. I think it's more of a desire thing, and I think it's more of a do you want to do the dirty work that it requires to get in a position on Sunday to have success. That's my sense of it. And I think right now the answer from people close to him or watching him day to day is they don't feel like he is.
Well, and again, you know, not to harp on this over and over again, but of the things that we knew about this limited team this year, that we knew that, I mean, look, 6 wins was going to be, hey, look, progress. Brian Callahan's keeping his job. Six wins. That's what we were talking about heading into the year. But one of the things I said and that we talked about a lot was you need to walk away from year two of J.C. Latham feeling like you've got a foundational player. And they're so far away from that right now. I guess that could dramatically improve here. At 1-9 moving forward, and maybe you do feel that
every
way.
Every week is
year.
A huge referendum.
But man, that seems way far away right now, where we're at with J.C. Latham. And that, to me, is very disappointing.
I mean, before last week's game, I think I said, right, we talked about, like, he might be as important, I mean, other than Cam.
Sure.
As important an individual for the rest of this year as there is, right?
Yeah.
And continues to be true.
And think long term.
And then right after that, he gets subtweeted after a 3 false start game.
So. Think long term. You know, Dan Moore's one more year guy. They're satisfied to be average at left tackle for 2 years based on this contract. So they need a left tackle. I mean, they could use an upgrade. We've discussed this. But definitely by 2027, they're going to have another left tackle. You can't need a right tackle.
No.
You can't. For all of the needs they have, it's bad enough that you're going to go back to the well on left tackle. But you can't need to go back to the well on right tackle. I mean, if you go back to the well on right tackle, you're again stalling on something else that you desperately need. You can't repeat positions over and over while you're then stalling something that you desperately need and haven't addressed.
That's a good breakdown, but I think you should really focus on Mason Kinsey, though, because, you know, got to get that 11th receiver better.
I love this Joe thing where you can't. You can't improve 2 things at the same time.
One texter says
it's 17 things at the same time.
One texter says Latham's current performance is like the top half of the bottom third of what we saw from Nicholas Petitfrere.
This is exactly what I want.
There we go.
Let's run with it.
Print the t-shirts.
We got one more segment with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Paul Kuharsky with us from PaulKuharsky.com, brought to you by Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse and Seal Master. Joe, you mentioned wanting to talk about the softness of the Titans, so I will turn the floor over to you.
Well, I found out about this through PK's tweet the other day. So there's a lot to this, probably a lot we won't get into, but the Titans have eliminated the writers talking about the Titans pregame.
Titans Radio. So it's a long running segment. I used to do it with Jim Wyatt and Jonathan Hutton, who was part of Titans Radio. And we sometimes would do 10, 12 minutes. My understanding, so Buck took it over when I left the radio station. And my understanding is, you know, last year it was down to like 5 minutes, and this year it was down to like 3 minutes. But for them to eliminate it totally to do a community segment or a stadium segment does seem weak and soft. To me, I understand it gets kind of repetitive when your team's 1-9, but that's not the fault of the media. And having some level of outside reporter on your air to discuss team issues and actual football players and stuff seemed like a wise thing for me to do. I don't think it's a good look to get rid of.
I've never, and I admittedly don't listen to all the pregame shows of all the teams, all the times.
None of the times.
But I've as far as I know, they all have something like that. Like,
yeah,
they have a round table with writers for every. I mean, any team that I can think of that I've listened to that stuff has that. And yeah, again, this is I'm gonna sit here and talk about other stations. You know, that's not a thing. But I am alarmed, and I'll go back to Robbie Boren and that whole thing, it's alarming. And I know some Titans fans, again, they hear this stuff, it's like, well, I don't give a crap, talk about the team, talk about the players. But this is, I think this is a symptom of the issues with the Titans. This is a symptom of, one, people going into areas that they shouldn't be in. They should let people who know those areas freaking do their freaking jobs.
I think Titans Radio, who knows their jobs, did this. But I think Titans Radio...
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking big beyond that. I think that the Titans, they have a lot of issues top down. And this is, again, to me, another example of softness, but also, like, some people know, you know, whatever, you know, the business side of things, or, you know, these people know, like, communications, these people, and there's people trying to do things over there that they shouldn't be doing, and it's just another layer. And then they get rid of people, as we've talked about a lot, who have institutional knowledge, who have loyalty to the franchise, who are smart, who do their jobs well. And it's just, I look at this as a little bit of another bigger picture symptom of issues.
I'll just say this. I mean, I wrote about their TV ratings lately. I would love to know who's listening to their team podcast or the Mike McCoy show on TV or the Mike McCoy show on the radio. And, I mean, I'm sure they're trying to paint a happy face. You can't paint a happy face on this. So what's the content?
Yeah.
And who's listening to it? I understand they're in a tough spot there, but if you're trying to rah-rah your way out of this, good luck.
Well, it all comes back to me of just being worried about the wrong stuff. Like, this is the NFL. You're going to go through a cycle. Like, the Titans are going to be good again at some point. Now, when that is, I have no idea. They're going to be good again at some point. And everybody, when everything's going well, is all quick to take all the praise and all the outside stuff and all the conversation they can get. And the moment things start to go wrong, they feel like they've got to clamp everything down and shut the door on things. And it's such a loser mentality. You're just so worried about things that ultimately don't matter.
They be also professional, do this thing.
Go fix your football team, yeah, and everything will take care of itself.
They also,
how about that?
They also exactly. do this thing. They pat themselves on the back. Like Nate Bain does social media stuff over there, you know, and there was one point where he tweeted out, you know, just have to praise my team for, you know, all the great work they've been doing in difficult times. You're not losing games. I mean, you're not sore on Mondays. You know, do your job. I need to see you congratulating your team for suffering through the hard times to put out social media content. Give me a friggin' break.
You know,
You poor guys. They still pull out a taco truck there once in a while, and you get a free meal. Take that away if you want to know suffering.
You know, you take Stilly out of it because, I mean, Stilly talks about, like sex stuff. Take Stilly out of it. Some of the stuff he talks about, I mean, you don't know what I'm referring to. He gets personal, okay? So sometimes it's like, dude, you're going way too far. I listen enough to everybody else in this whole market. Like, I mean, I guess, you know, your impersonation, and we joke about fox hunting. Is,
yeah, I bet
like,
Amy
that's
didn't like
a,
me.
That's about as hard as it gets on.
I'm cool with that.
On, you know, on the time, mean, people, you know, crossing the line.
I don't like Robbie Stanley at all.
I mean,
he will not be coming on the fox hunt.
Like, like. It's just
she should have a media fox hunt. That would be so.
I mean,
great.
The criticism of Amy, I think, has been again. I don't listen to every show all the time, all day long. I listen to enough to. There's nothing crossing the line in Nashville radio, man.
Go to Philadelphia. Go spend one day in Philadelphia.
LD from New Menville throughout all this, like, can we get rid of the Johnny Cash songs, please? Can we please get the Johnny Cash song out of here and just revamp it?
Does anybody like that?
Some of this. What is the addiction to the drum line? She must really love the drum line. I think that's special. They have a baton twirler. Baton twirlers are in high school. Then you move on to more advanced things. The Titans are providing their fans with high school level entertainment.
This has become Titans Festivus. Just every grievance we have with the Titans.
I mean, if you like the baton twirler, tweet me. I'm not expecting any tweets.
I, in general, do like baton twirlers.
Yeah, at high school games.
Disrespecting them.
You like them at pro games?
I mean, I don't know.
How about the drum line?
I'm more upset with I like Johnny Cash, but it's not a.
I'd kind of
not getting
in.
People hyped up. You know, it's just,
I think I'd lean into a Titans marching band. Why not?
Yeah.
Come up with your own fight song.
Work for the Baltimore Colts.
The Wee Ass Band.
Now, that's what they should have, a Wee Ass songwriting contest.
After they lose, Cam Ward can go up there a la Peyton Manning,
Peyton Manning
and start directing the band.
The Wee Ass Band.
Yeah.
Now, that would be entertainment. I mean, here we are. You should hire us. We're providing you with more than you get out of these big conference room meetings. Than is imaginable. Give us another hour. Robbie and I are going to do this tomorrow.
Tomorrow, we're going to figure
some
things out.
We'll revamp the whole damn game day experience.
It's amazing.
We love Wee Ass, okay?
Oh, you could come on the field and touch the flag before the game. That'll get you going.
I like how we go through all this big picture stuff and you just have to call out Nate Bain. You're just like, I got to take it to Nate Bain today. God.
I just want to thank my team. They're going through some hard, hard times. But the way you put that graphic together and got it up on Twitter, I mean, to endure what you've endured and to get that graphic out,
look,
my God, it's a step short of Normandy.
God
bless you all. And our trip to Arlington Cemetery together is going to be a real bonding experience.
There's one thing I need to happen. When this next coaching hire takes place, and they, you know, he gets off the plane, they take him over the facility, and the whole organization is out there.
Huge ovation.
I need PK to be in there. I need PK to find his way in there.
Infiltrate.
Boo! What are you all clapping for? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Boo! Get to work!
I hope that Nate, you know, I assume Nate Bain's really good
at
social media.
Maybe spend less time clapping, more time studying film.
Nate Bain's job is to, like, kiss ass of social influence.
I bet you
he's like
really
jelly
good.
Roll. Like, did you have enough toilet paper in there, Jelly?
I bet you he's really good at social media. It's time to dox your ass. It is time to dox PK.
Oh, man. He doesn't listen.
Get him, Nate.
I know this. He's not listening right now because he told us back when we were at the other station. He said, yeah, I'm more of a podcast guy.
Well, you can get our podcast.
That does it for
Rip Nate Bain Day on Robbie and Rex Road.
I mean, you're throwing me softballs. Don't block the box. Be sure to lock the locks. Much more of this tomorrow on a Mike McCoy free Robbie and Rex Road with Paul Kowarski.
Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.